Hi, and welcome to Very Fantastic Discoveries with me, Jingy Farmer. Last week, we talked about a story from Norse mythology, and now we are talking about the third book in a series of unfortunate events, The Wide Window. This is the most miserable Baudelaire adventure yet, complete with a woman who is afraid of everything, another transparent Count Olaf disguise, and more incompetency by the hands of Mr. Poe. Let's get started. After the events of the reptile room, when Olaf disguised as a man called Stefano and killed the Baudelaire's guardian, Dr. Montgomery Montgomery, Mr. Poe placed them in the care of the old woman, the Baudelaire's relative, Josephine Antwistle, who has a severe case of panophobia ever since her husband died at the hands of the extremely dangerous Lacrimose leeches. They go to her rickety house on a cliff overlooking Lake Lacrimose, and try to have an enjoyable time, but Aunt Josephine, as she wants to be called, dampens the mood by being afraid of perfectly normal things, like radiators and telephones. She teaches them all about grammar, one of the only things she is not afraid of, and enjoys delicacies such as cold cucumber soup. She is afraid to make hot food because she thinks the stove might explode. One day, when shopping for goods, which they can eat while they sit out the extremely dangerous hurricane that is coming their way, they meet a sailboat rental agent named Captain Sham with a peg leg and an eye patch. The Baudelaires recognize at once that this is another disguise of Olaf's, but Aunt Josephine falls for his disguise, and I am going to quote, hook, line, and sinker. Sometime after that, they hear the breaking of the titular window. After realizing that Aunt Josephine must have broken the window, they find a note written by Aunt Josephine, which places them in the care of Captain Sham. They think that Count Olaf must have written the note just to place them in his care and call Mr. Poe. However, they find that it is not a forgery and go to a restaurant called The Anxious Clown, so Mr. Poe can discuss matters with Count Olaf / Captain Sham. Violet, Klaus, and Sunny want more time to analyze the note, and Violet thinks of a way. When they are being served by a waiter named Larry, who, little do they know, is a secret spy who tries to communicate to the Baudelaires though they do not notice, they eat peppermints that Mr. Poe had given them and trigger allergic reactions and convince Mr. Poe to keep talking with Sham / Olaf while they lie down at Aunt Josephine's house. They decode the note while there and realize that the grammatical errors that Aunt Josephine made in the note were actually a secret code, telling them to come to Curdled Cave, where she is hiding after Count Olaf threatened her. Just after watching Aunt Josephine's house fall into the lake because of the hurricane from a safe distance, they do, after stealing a sailboat from one of Count Olaf's associates. They then bring back Aunt Josephine as evidence of Count Olaf's crimes, sailing across leech-infested waters, but Count Olaf finds them and murders Aunt Josephine by pushing her overboard to the leeches that took her husband. She had two life jackets, but apparently by the time of book five, her life vests were found, and no one knows what happened to her. Count Olaf would have gotten away with it, but Sunny bites off his peg leg in front of Mr. Poe, exposing his tattoo for him to see. Mr. Poe tries to catch Count Olaf, but Olaf and his enormous androgynous associate get away, and the Baudelaires are shipped off to quite another type of guardian that they had so far been exposed to. Sadly, things are not going to get any better for quite some time. Now I welcome our regular guest, Dylan Fulmer.
Hey, Jingy, how's it going?
It's going great.
Yeah. So, as I understand it, you're a big fan of this book series, A Series of Unfortunate Events. You've done two prior episodes about this prior to today.
Yep.
In terms of all of the different books in the series, how does this third book, The Wide Window, rate for you or rank for you?
I'm really not sure because as I think I mentioned in an earlier episode that the 12th book was my favorite, so but they're all great books, so I'm not sure where this ranks.
Gotcha. So, yet again, Count Olaf trying to make things miserable for everybody.
Yeah.
So, I haven't read this book, unfortunately, yet. And I'm looking forward to the end of March because that will be the first show that we see, right?
Yes, 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 yes!
Okay. The Series of Unfortunate Events season 2 will start, yes. So, in The Wide Window, we have some new characters that we're introduced to. This Aunt Josephine character, correct?
Yeah, Josephine Aunt Whistle.
What's her last name? Aunt Whistle?
Aunt Whistle.
Like A-N-T Whistle?
Yes.
That's very similar to the last name of the bass player from a band called The Who, John Aunt Whistle. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. One of her relatives named Gregor Aunt Whistle.
Gregor?
Yeah. Ran a business called Aunt Whistle Aquatics that was connected with the secret spy organization that I mentioned earlier with Larry and stuff.
Gotcha. And his name was Gregor, you say?
Gregor Aunt Whistle.
Interesting. And so when I was doing a little bit of reading about this book, there was reference made to the Cafe Kafka, something like that, in this book?
Yeah, but it does not play an active part. Lemony Snicket just offhand mentions that.
Okay, because it was interesting when I was reading. The references were that, there's an author named Kafka, right? Franz Kafka?
Yeah.
And he wrote a famous, his most famous book is something called The Metamorphosis.
Yeah, the changing of things?
Well, somebody changes into a cockroach, yes. And the main character in that, his first name is Gregor, and also that Kafka wrote another story about somebody named Josephine. So it's the Cafe Kafka, the Gregor, the Josephine, it all sort of ties in together.
Yeah.
pardon me.
And you notice that, as in the Reptile Room story, Sunny uses her teeth to expose the villains in both books, for she used her teeth to bite through the hook-handed man's fake hands in the Reptile Room, and used it to bite through Captain Shan's fake peg leg so that they could see that he was really Count Olaf because of his tattoo.
Right, I was going to say, there is no Captain Sham, it's just Count Olaf in disguise.
There was actually a person named Captain Sham.
Right. So Count Olaf assumed his identity, he stole his identity?
Yeah, but before that, Lemony Snicket's in-universe brother, Jock Snicket, as in that cooking show guy, his first name is pronounced as in that cooking
Jacques Pepin.
He assumed the identity of Captain Sham first.
Right.
And what's interesting is that he is Jock Snicket, and he took on the identity of Ulia Sham. There are a lot of JSs throughout the series, such as Justice Strauss and an upcoming character that we'll see in the 6th book.
So, in the series, it seems like there's a lot with similar initials coming up into play, right?
Yeah.
What's another example of that?
VFD.
VFD, which stands for, among other things, primarily...
Volunteer Fire Department, also very fresh dill, very fine dramaticist.
And perhaps Very Fantastic Discoveries, the same name of this very podcast?
Yeah.
Is there any connection there, Judy?
Yes!
There is, isn't there?
Yeah.
Aha! It took till the 7th episode for the truth to come out.
Ah.
the name of your podcast is based on a reference to the Lemony Snicket books, is it not?
Yes!
Yes, it is. All right. So, leeches, huh?
Yes.
So, Josephine's husband?
I can't whistle.
Was eaten by leeches?
Yeah, apparently.
And then so was she, right?
Remember, it's left ambiguous because even though her life jackets were found by book five, it was unknown whether she was actually eaten by leeches, even though Count Olaf certainly thinks she was.
Because he left her basically to die, because he's a horrible, horrible man.
Yes.
Right. Is there anything good about Count Olaf? Is there any redeeming qualities about him? I guess he's persistent, right?
There's also a reason for his hating of the Baudelaires.
Yes, let's not spoil the rest of the series, though.
That's a minor thing.
Right. Anyway, so leeches ate the...
Her husband, because when Aunt Josephine, the Baudelaires' parents, and some others were having a picnic... Mm-hmm.
In the lake, or in the cave?
No, on the beach. Right. Ike only waited 45 minutes after eating, and the leeches got him. Mm-hmm. And that was also an excuse that Count Olaf made so his pig leg seemed plausible. Mm-hmm. He said that the leeches ate part of his left leg to make his pig leg plausible, as I said.
These are some intense leeches, I suppose.
Lacrimose
Lake.
Yeah. No, Lake
Lacrimose. Lake Lacrimose, pardon me.
Isn't that an expression for something sad or something?
Well, literally it means something that makes you cry, brings you to tears.
Lemony Snicket definitely did that on purpose.
Yes. So that comes from a Latin word for tears. Lacrima means tears in Latin.
Yep.
What I'm led to believe, this is a very, very large lake. Like,
were
it a real lake, it would be one of the Great Lakes, right?
Yeah, like, also in the show, it is mentioned that it is a very large lake.
Right. And is it ever nice and sunny there, or is it always dreary and hence the name Lacrimose?
Remember, it was the off-season and very stormy, and there was a hurricane, so there must have been some pleasant days.
Perhaps, but you never know. So, what was it? What else did I read about this? Mr. Poe shows up again, and again, completely clueless.
Yes, and again, he ships them off to a guardian, though, as I said before, it is not exactly the type of guardian they are used to. It's not a guardian as in Uncle Monty or Aunt Josephine. It's a guardian as in an industry that they are employed with as they are being in loco parentis by that industry.
Did you just say in loco parentis?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. But that's the next book. But that's not this book, right?
Yeah.
So we're talking about this book right now. I'm trying to remember what else I found interesting about reading about this.
Don't say it's not interesting, though.
No, it's very interesting. The book is entirely interesting. Yeah. So, you know, what I read of it, it seems very interesting. What else would you like to call out about this?
Appearances of the guardians between the books and the show seem not that great because in the books, Uncle Monty was a short, chubby man with flaming red hair, and well, you know what he looked like in this show.
Mm-hmm.
This with the mustache and all that.
Montgomery?
Yeah, with the mustache and all that.
Yes, he was played by an actor who I originally found out about, or who I originally knew about from The Daily Show.
Something Monvi?
Asif Monvi was the actor's name who played Dr. Montgomery.
And Aunt Josephine, while she was like this old lady with her white hair tied up in a hairnet, mm-hmm. in the books, was this like middle-aged woman, because in the book, mm-hmm. Captain Sham when they run into him at the marketplace, as a way of flattering Aunt Josephine, says that she looks young enough for Violet to be her sister. That's implausible because she looks like a grandma in the books, but if it was in the TV show, Violet could have been her very, very, very younger sister.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. I had something that I was going to ask you about, and now it is gone. Oh, yes. No, I know. So you were talking about the note that they found that Count Olaf made Josephine write before he broke the window. So she didn't actually jump out the window.
He didn't break the window.
Who broke the window?
And Josephine did, because remember in the show she had this statue thingy that she got out.
So she made it, was she making it look like to him that she had jumped out?
And to everybody else.
And to everybody else. She wanted to disappear, but she wanted to make it look like that she had committed suicide.
And she was not a good guardian at all because I remember when Count Olaf threatened her on the boat with mm-hmm. the Baudelaires.
Right.
Eddie's like, give me the orphans. Mm-hmm. Or I'll throw you overboard. She says, like, you can have the orphans, you can have the fortune, and you can have anything. I'll just change my name and change the color of my hair and get contact lenses and go into hiding and I'll never see the light of day again. Just take the children.
Wow, so I guess she didn't really care about these children very much at all. So anyway, the note, what I was trying to get about was the note. The note had, as you mentioned, some sort of coded message that was based on the bad grammar in the note itself.
Yeah, right? Because Aunt Josephine loved grammar, mm-hmm. which is kind of ironic because in the TV show, the actress for Aunt Josephine made grammatical errors and nobody in the show commented on that despite her playing someone who loved grammar.
Hmm. Such as, do you recall an example of that?
She said, your parents and Ike and me.
Hmm.
And she's supposed to love grammar. I wonder if they did that on purpose just to make it a little silly or something.
Perhaps, or to make you upset because we know how much you are a stickler for rules and fidelity. But what I was thinking was, this is the second book in a row where there has been the concept of a coded message. The last one, there was the movie that they were watching.
Yeah. Which, as I mentioned before, the coded message was completely different in the show. Mm-hmm. And in the show, Dr. Montgomery received it, but in the book, Dr. Montgomery didn't know the secret code and hence didn't receive it.
Right. So let me ask you this. So it seems like, so far, what we're seeing in these books is a recurring pattern of the something bad happening to the Baudelaire orphans, them getting placed with some guardian, either Count Olaf himself or Count Olaf tries to foil the new guardian somehow.
With a transparent disguise.
And then at the end of the book, he's foiled, and then they repeat the cycle again. Is that sort of the cycle, the pattern in the remainder of the books?
It is actually up to book 7.
And then the pattern sort of changes a little bit after that?
Yeah, the pattern after that is the Baudelaire's just running from place to place, wherever, and Count Olaf not having a disguise and just following them around without a disguise.
Gotcha. And the author manages to keep it entertaining, even though it goes with the same pattern?
He certainly does.
Gotcha. Well, that sounds like a very talented person then. All right, Jingi. Well, I don't think we have much more time today, but as usual, thank you for another fascinating conversation, and I look forward to talking to you again next weekend.
Yep. That is all the time we have for today. Make sure to check us out on our website, www.veryfantasticdiscoveries.com, and other various finer databases. If you get my joke, such as iTunes, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Stitcher, and more. Next episode, I will tell you many Greek stories, including ones I alluded to in the Never Mess with the Gods episode. Goodbye for now!